The Canadian Premier League is back, and it's coming to the bright red mud of Prince Edward Island. CanPL.ca virtual newsroom, John, Charlie, and Marty. That felt good to say. They feel good to hear.
So good. So good. It's been so long.
Okay, so the details, we'll quickly skim over them, and then we'll get right into the discussion. We can finally talk about games. I know fans have been wanting that as well. 35 games. We've got two group stages, 18 group stages and a four team, and then a one-off game in the final to decide the full-on champion of the 2020 CPL season. It's called the Island Games, of course, on Prince Edward Island, taking place in Charlottetown next month. Everyone's probably already seen the details already, so let's just get right into it. Maybe we'll start with the format. So what do we think about this? Maybe this first round. So everyone plays each other once. You know, the teams that are eliminated out of that four teams only get seven games out of it. It's kind of a short season-ish, but I mean, it's better than having it, you know, split up even more. So what do you guys think of the format?
I like it. I mean, I think, you know, we got to appreciate the difficulty of getting a tournament in, right? Because it's, we don't know how this pandemic is going to play out. So, I mean, I appreciate that it's maybe a little bit shorter than some people expected, but look, every team is guaranteed seven games, which is, you know, not insignificant. And then, you know, I like the fact that it's multi-stage. It kind of reminds me of the UEFA Champions League, how it used to be, where there was one group stage, and then there was a second group stage, and then they went out to the knockout round. It kind of reminds me of that. So, you know, I like it. And then the fact that it's a one, you know, winner take all final, as opposed to over two legs where, you know, the winner is going to be crowned CPL champion and they're actually going to lift the North Star Shield. You know, I think it's a pretty cool tournament.
I love it. I think it's going to be awesome. I love that it's just so unforgiving. Like every game is going to be massive for every club, especially if you're going up against a team that you think you might be fighting with you think you might come up third or fourth, you're fighting with a team for that. Every game is going to be so important. And I mean, after we saw, I know Marty, we said that we didn't want to mention a 2019 season anymore, but if we look at last year, how we knew who was going to be in the finals for the last maybe month or so, I don't think that's going to be a problem here. I'm pretty sure we're not going to know the whole way through where anybody's going to fall. Really, it could be anybody's game. Like every game is going to be so, so important, and teams will not have time to settle into anything. Like you have to be ready to go from day one, and it's going to be just really exciting.
For context, go ahead, John.
I was just going to say, I think that's a great point, Charlie. I mean, about, you know, like how every game is going to mean something, right? Mm-hmm. As points are on the line, so it's like there's going to be very little room for error. So teams, as you said, really have to hit the ground running, and each game is going to be absolutely huge because there's valuable points up for grabs, and that means the margin for error is rather slim. So I'll be interested to see how that sort of plays out on the field. Will that mean teams become more aggressive? Will they kind of play more attacking, or will they sort of be a little bit more sort of conservative and reserved in their play? I'm really fascinated to see how the fact that the games mean so much and points are going to be really sort of at a premium, what that does in terms of tactics. I think that's going to be one of the more interesting storylines to watch.
Do we know of any 8-team group stage? I was trying to think of that this morning. I don't.
The hex. No, that's a 16.
That's six.
16.
The oct. You're thinking of the oct.
Yeah.
There must be some sort of World Cup qualifying format from maybe a couple years ago.
Isn't South America, isn't it an 8-team? I'd have to look it up off the top of my head, but
I think it's more than eight. I think it's more than eight. Yeah. Yeah. But so anyways, I mean, obviously when you get 8 teams, that comes together. Whenever you have 8 teams, you want to do a knockout round. So right. I think this is maybe the first, you know, one of the first anyways in recent times. So, I mean, what do we think point totals that you'll need to move on? I guess it would be 10.5 would be sort of that middle line, right? Because I think the maximum you could get would be 7 times 3, which would be 21. So, I mean, maybe 11 or 12 points. I'm trying to think of it like a World Cup group stage, right? Where if you get 5, you're good. six are good, four, you know, not so much. Like,
I probably like around that 10 or 11, like minimum, is that you're probably going to need to, like, you know, you're going to have to get just to sort of get into that four spot, I would think. But, you know, we're at the top end, it's probably, we're looking at like the first place team will be like more like 15 or 16, but who knows?
I'd
say teams are probably just, they'd be looking at it and saying, okay, like, we've got seven games, let's win four of them.
Yeah.
At least. I think that would probably see you through pretty safely.
Yeah. If you can get three wins, that's 9 points. You throw in like, you know, a couple more draws, you know, I think, you know, three wins is probably like the bare minimum you're going to have to do. I don't think like someone, unless I'm completely misreading this and how it plays out, I don't think someone who only gets a club who only gets two wins is going to advance. I think three is probably like the bare minimum you're going to have to win.
Let's keep in mind, Cavalry FC started the spring season last year with seven straight wins. 21 points.
Good point.
So, for context, so the last spring season in 2019, I'm sorry, we're talking about 2019 again. No, we're not allowed to. Was 35 games exactly as well. But that season took 65 days. I think this one's going to be around 40 days. I'm not sure exactly. So it's going to be way more condensed. And maybe we'll talk a little bit more about that that second round. So we're going to see a top four and then play again. So we're going to get maybe two and I guess three games between at least two teams. That, for me, is really what makes this tournament exciting, right? Is getting that quality round, getting something that feels like a semifinal in across six matches. So, yeah, I'm excited for that one for sure. So that takes us to, I mean, which club do we think can win this? I mean, there's obviously Forge and Cavalry are the big two from last year, but maybe a better question is who's best suited for a tournament like this, right? It was short, lots of games, going to need lots of depth. Who do you think is best equipped to take this on?
Yeah, I think this is completely unimaginative, and I'm not exactly going out on a limb out here, but I think Forge is best equipped. I really do. There's going to be, you know, teams are going to, if you go from like the start of the tournament to the final, teams are going to have to play what, 12 games, I think, when you do something around there. And it's over a 42-43 day period. So that's about, a game every 3 days. Depth is going to be a big factor in this. And who has the best depth right now? I think it's Forge. Of the 19 players they currently have under contract, 17 are returnees from last year. I think the other thing, too, is that because the games kind of come quick and fast, squad rotation and is really going to be just a big part of this. And if Bobby Smyrniona showed anything last year, it was an ability to effectively rotate his squad and get guys in and out of his lineup. Different parts of the season, whether he was missing players through injury or he was playing multiple games in a week, he really kind of effectively rotated his squad. So again, I know I'm not exactly going on a limb out here, but I think Forge is probably best equipped to win this tournament at the moment.
Yeah, and Forge has guys that can pretty much play in like five or six different positions, so they can rotate probably at least three guys into any place on the field, which is probably going to be huge because obviously it's unlikely that your entire squad is going to be perfectly fit for every game day. So Marty, to answer your original question of who could win this tournament, the answer is anybody. because it's just going to be so crazy. Like literally anybody has a chance. Obviously Cavalry comes to mind, which is also fairly unimaginative because they were also really dominant last year. As you said, they started last season really well. And this year, the start to the season is going to be the whole season. so if they can get out hot again like that, it's going to be impressive. The other thing that I think of when it comes to them is just the fitness that they had last year, their ability to wear teams down over 90 minutes. I mean, teams have been kind of off the field and then in sort of half training for this weird hiatus period. And now if Cavalry is what they were last year, which obviously we can't know that yet, but if they are, then they could wear down a team really, really well just by being in better shape than them, right? Especially if there's games every few days and just there's fatigue starting to set in. So Cavalry would probably be another decent pick. I do want to spare some time giving a thought to Edmonton, though. Jeff Paulus kind of sold me on them the other day when I was talking to him. The one thing he brought up is that just like how Forge is probably the deepest team in the league, Edmonton has a lot of depth in very specific places. Like Paulus was mentioning, they've got Easton Ongaro and Tomi Abiobi. And if you want a full 90 healthy fit game from one striker, you can swap them back and forth. He's got three guys that are going to rotate around the central midfield and Eric Zetterberg and
Mortazzi as well, right? Could be Doria there.
Mortazzi was in there, and I think one of the ZBs, I think Alan ZB. So he was saying, like, yeah, I think what we're going to do is we're going to have one play 90 minutes and another play 60, another play 30 minutes, and then rotate them around for the next game. And they've got Hanson Boakai and Kevin Alleman who play similar positions and can also kind of platoon in that sort of number 10 role for them. So I think they're going to be maybe a dark horse. I think they're probably not a team that a lot of people are going to talk about because they maybe don't have the flashy offseason signings like a Marco Bustos. But I think they are a team that's going to cause some problems.
Yeah, you just wonder maybe how deep FC Edmonton is, though, because they are also quite a young team, right? You look at some of the players brought on, like Marcus Vlados, a guy I think he was really good in the spring season when he came off. Obviously, he scored a goal on Canada Day last year, but you kind of wonder with him and with some of the other academy guys. But I know I'm probably going to get a text from Jeff Paulus after saying that. I mean, with Cavalry as well, you wonder how. I mean, I think the big question mark with them is losing two players like Jose Escalante and Richard Luca, because there are going to be a lot of lost players, and those are two quality pieces, two quality wingers that are out of the question. So you wonder, for me anyways, Tommy Wilden Jr. mentioned that they're going to bring in some younger players. You wonder if that's going to be a bit of an issue, and how much can you sort of adjust from this point, right? And maybe change things up. I'm not sure. But with Forge, you're right. Forge definitely had the best squad rotation in the league last year. So that's a good shout as well. What do you think, Charlie? Am I incorrect with Cavalry?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
I mean, those are obviously guys that were probably in the initial plan. I don't think that they're that hard done by on the wing, though, because they've still got Nico Pasquati. They have Oliver Minutel, I believe, on a wing, who sort of swapped around a few positions. You kind of wonder who's going to play up front and who's going to score the goals for them.
Jared Cordova, maybe.
I mean, we don't really know what he is yet because we haven't seen him play. But I see what you're saying. I still think that there's a lot of names at Cavalry that maybe we don't always remember from last year, but they were major contributors. So I think it would be shocking to see them any lower than fourth.
Yeah, fair enough. I'm just going to go ahead and put Pacific FC out there. I think that they've set themselves up really nicely for a tournament. They don't have the biggest squad right now, but if you look at the specific positions, like you mentioned, Amiobi and Ongaro, Charlie, they've got Taron Campbell and Alejandro Diaz for striker, mm-hmm. right? And you think about fullbacks, like Caden Chung, Marcel DeYoung, Jordan Haynes came in. I think he's going to be really good at this level. I think that just across the board, they just have the right balance. And I think a player like Marco Bustos could really make the difference. And I don't know. I've got a good feeling about them. I think that the way that they built this year has been really good. I've also seen York 9 bandied about as a potential favorite here. So, I mean, I was thinking about this. I'm gonna throw it out to you guys. Do you think that this is a top four in the CPL? Do you think this is the four that we're going to see move on? York 9, Pacific FC, and then Cavalry and Forge.
I think it's definitely a top two. Forge. And then, I like the way that York is kind of built out as well. I think they've really strengthened midfield, and, their attack is going to look pretty potent, especially with Ryan Telfer coming back. So I think they're probably, you know, a good bet to get it in there. And then for me, the fourth spot will either probably come down to FC Edmonton or Pacific, one of the two. You know, I think Valor, there's just been so much change over there in the offseason that it's kind of hard to know what you're going to get. And, you know, Ottawa, it's a new club, and I suspect they're really going to struggle. And same thing with HFX, there was a lot of turnover there. So, you know, I think it's probably that fourth spot will probably come down to either Edmonton or Pacific, but I don't think one pathway. I think, you know, it's going to be competitive.
Yeah. Charlie, what do you think?
Yeah. I think I'd probably agree that there's maybe five teams that'll be kind of in the mix. I mean, I actually, don't get me wrong, I actually like the changes that Halifax and Valor both made this year, but I think that they're kind of works in progress that might have maybe needed a little bit of time in a longer season to settle into their new systems, especially their new defensive back line. So that might be an issue for them with a short kind of games every few days tournament where they might not have the time to experiment and figure out what works for them. I do actually think it's going to be close, just because, like, I don't think there'll be time for anybody to set themselves apart from the pack. Like, I don't think there's much time to pick up speed, at least in the first round. I'm sure that somebody can come into the second group stage with a ton of momentum and maybe roll over teams then. But I do think that it might be a little bit too fast for a team like a Forge or a Cavalry to really run away with it. But that said, I do think that they'll probably be the top two teams from this competition. It's just, I don't think it'll be decided too early on.
Yeah, I just think that the added element of this only being the second year of the league, where you see Halifax and Valor having as much turnover as they did, where I could totally see Valor, if this was a normal season, as you mentioned, Charlie, like having a good run late on and maybe challenging. But because it's just going to happen so quickly, you know, that's what's different than, than like kind of what the MLS is dealing with right now, right? Like where, you know, we have all these established teams going in all at once. But in the CPL, frankly, it's just different.
On that same page, we should probably also point out that Pacific is trying to start out with a new system, with a new coach as well, which, I mean, might not be quite the same thing as having a completely different squad, but it does often take time for a coach to kind of instill his system, and I'm not sure to what extent you can do that in training without actual games. I mean, all the reviews from Pacific's camp of Pamadou Ka are really positive so far, but you still, it is kind of a wild card that you aren't necessarily sure how quickly a team will kind of catch on to what a coach is trying to do.
Yeah, fair enough. We should also mention that the five sub rule, which is now across the board in world football, that is coming to the CPL. Maybe just a quick note on that. As you mentioned, depth is going to be important. You know, some of these players are going on, what, 9-10 months without games? So it'll be interesting to see how coaches utilize that.
Yeah, I think that's going to be probably one of the more interesting storylines of this tournament as well. It's just how do coaches who have, you know, as far as I know, always dealt with three substitutions, now have, you know, two extra at their disposal. I know Jeff Paulus, I think a couple of weeks ago he said he really liked the five sub rule. And he was really looking forward to sort of tinkering with it. So, I'll be interested to see how that plays out during the Island Games.
Yeah, I think this probably does tip the scales a little bit more in favor of a team like a Forge, who just has so many guys that could probably start for another team in the league that can just come on at the end of the game. But in general, it also just helps the teams with the bigger squads. Like York 9 has a full roster. I think Edmonton has almost a full roster. So I think it does a little bit help those teams that just have more bodies that they can throw in there if there is an injury or something. Oh. Interesting to see. I've always liked how the five subs rule kind of seems to make games better at the end.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully we'll see that. It's nice to talk about games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, as you can imagine, things are going to really ramp up at CampYall.ca in the coming weeks. Be sure to check back for more episodes of this show and lots more content coming down the pipe. Until then, take care.